Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks for joining us here on this Sunday, February 8th. I hope you are having a good week. We've had some nice warmer weather here lately. Valentine's Day is coming up on Saturday. Just a reminder for all of you to show love to somebody. Maybe even those closest to you, like your spouse. Show them some love. Tell them how much they mean to you. A couple announcements as we begin today. One is next Sunday afternoon, we have our ice skating as a church family. Those who would like to join us, we're going to be at Breslow Ice Rink there in Lincoln. And it's going to be from 2 to 4:30. You need to RSVP if you're interested in coming so that we can tell them how many to expect. But the church is going to cover the cost because we just see it as a value sometimes to go out and do things together to continue to build the relationships and friendships among us. And so if you want to come and maybe you want to come and even just watch and not skate, that's fine too. Just tell us that. Tell us that you want to come and sit and be there, because then we're going to tell the owner of the rink there how many to expect and pay for those who are skating and their rentals as well. Another thing that I want to let you know about is camp registration has already begun. And so you can go to Covenant Cedars and register your kids for camp. And I should tell you that last year the high school camp filled up. And so some kids didn't get to go that wanted to because they registered too late. So don't let that happen to you. Make sure you register your kids early enough here for camp. We also provide some money for camp. And so we have a code, and you can find that on your church weekly email. Or you can call Pastor Jessica, Children's Ministry there, and she'll give you the code to put in when you're registering your kids. And we pay, our church pays, every year we have a budget line where we submit money or give money to kids to go to camp. And that's for every kid. That reduces the cost by like a third. And so then if you need more than that, you can talk to me. And we have some scholarships available for families maybe going through a tough time, don't have all the money for camp, and we can give more or even all. So we don't want anyone not to go to camp because of money. And we really believe what happens over there and how people grow in their relationship with Jesus at camp and in their relationships with others. We think it's such a valuable thing. So we want every kid to be able to go to camp that wants to. And then the final announcement I have is that we're approaching the season of Lent. And Lent is the 6 weeks leading up to Easter. And it starts with Ash Wednesday. And Ash Wednesday is, I believe it is February 18th, that Wednesday. And we always have a service to kick off Lent on Ash Wednesday. And we do it in the morning. It's before work or school. It's at 7:15 in the morning in our church sanctuary. And it's a 30-minute service, so you can kind of know we'll be done at 7:45. We have donuts and coffee there, too. But that Ash Wednesday service is very simple. It's a song, a brief scripture and message. And then for those who would like, I administer the ashes, and we put it in the sign of a cross on the forehead or on the hand. And you can have this or you can choose not to do this. But the reason for that is that the whole day you're reminded of the one who died for your sins. And it's kind of humbling as you go out to the store or to school or to work and you have that on there. It's conversation starter. People are like, what's that? And you say, well, I believe in Jesus and what he did for me. And this kicks off the 6 weeks leading up to Easter. And sometimes it can be a great conversation starter to let people know you're a Christian and what he's done for you in your life. But it's in the Old Testament, the ashes were kind of used as a sign of repentance and a turning to God. And so that's why we call it Ash Wednesday. And so if you would like to come to that, it's open to anyone. It's 7:15 on the morning on that Wednesday, February 15th. So it's a week from this coming Wednesday, I think. And you are invited. All right, getting into our scripture now. Remember, we're in a sermon series here on the Ten Commandments, and we're going to look at number 5 today. And so I'm going to read for us 3 very short scriptures to begin. The first one I'm going to read is from Exodus 20, verse 12. And this is when the Ten Commandments are listed out when God is giving them to Moses. We read the 5th one. It's Exodus 20, verse 12, and it says this: "Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." And I want to read also Proverbs 23, 22. It says, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." And then also Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it might go well with you and you might enjoy long life on earth. And fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." So today we're looking at this 5th commandment, and it is to honor our mom and dad. Now, some believe that the first 4 commandments of the 10 are primarily about how we're to relate with God. And we've already looked at those first 4. There are, "Have no other gods before me, don't make any idols, don't misuse his name, and honor the Sabbath." While the remaining 6 commands are primarily how we are to treat one another, beginning with this one, how we are to treat our parents. Now, first off, we need to know that this command does not depend on whether our parents are worthy of any honor or respect. Not everyone has a great mom or dad, and some parents have not parented well, they've not loved well, they've not been very present or kind or healthy or even a good human being. The Lord will deal with that, though. He is their judge. But that doesn't change this command to us. We can't control them, but we are still to obey God. And so even if our parents haven't been very good or are worthy of honor or are Christian parents or whatever, we are commanded by God to honor them still. And we do it out of love and obedience to God. And because we are children of God, you are a child of God, saved by the mercy and grace and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who none of us deserve. And this will always be our motivation for how we treat other people. 1 John 4:1 says, "Oh, what love the Father has lavished on us that we get to be called children of God." And that is what we are. We are children of God, first to be shaped by his character and his love and his desire for this world. He is our true Father, capital F, and he is in heaven. And we first belong to him. We were created by him and for him. And he saved us and has provided for us and has watched over us every day, and he's the one who has given us the earthly parents that we got to raise us. Those parents may or may not have always done the best job, but have no fear, our heavenly Father always has done it. He fills the gaps, he provides, he's watched over you truly since day 1. He loves you, he knows you, he has been with you through everything, he's held you in his arms, heard your prayers, and has never once left you or forsaken you. Maybe your earthly parents sadly have. Maybe they didn't do a good job. I don't know. But our heavenly Father always been good. Father, and always present, and he always will. We are children of God first, and he heals all the brokenness in our life. He redeems and restores, and he does miracles of his grace in us and overflowing to our relationships, even with our parents. He's the reason we love and respect our parents. It's because of who he is and what he's done in us and how he is now calling us to live. And so out of the grace that he's given us, we now give it to them. Out of the love that he has given us, we now show it to them. Out of the forgiveness that he has given us, we now forgive them. We are to honor our parents because, as children of a heavenly Father, he commands us to. We honor God by honoring them. Well, some of us have had great parents, praise the Lord, and it's not hard to think about honoring them. We want to do that. We love them and are so thankful for our mom and dad, and we're glad that they're in our life. I know for one that I am. And it's important that we know that this command to honor our parents is not just for kids to obey. When we think about honoring our father and mother, we may think about being young and as kids living in their house and mom telling us to take out the trash and clean our room, and it means us obeying them. And that surely is a part of this command. We are meant to learn obedience and respect and submission to authorities at home. But this command isn't just about when we're young, but to honor our parents when they age, and we do too. It's how we're supposed to now look after them when they're older and treat them and concern ourselves with them and their needs and to provide for them or to continue to show them dignity and respect in the ways we talk to them or about them or the ways that we include them in our business and affairs and how we treat them. They are always our parents. To honor your father and mother is a lifetime command. I have visited many elderly in the hospital or nursing homes, and it is pretty sad to me how forgotten many people are, how lonely and in distress they feel. Days can be long and the weeks long, and as they sit there in the silence and they look at pictures on the wall of days and a life gone by and a family all grown up and now too busy with their own lives, and how they would love, as they sit there, to still be included in a part of those lives. Their basic needs are often serviced out to a nursing home, and meals are eaten around tables with people they don't know. They're tucked into bed at night and given care by strangers. Sure, the good people, the wonderful nurses and trained people in those facilities, and granted, sometimes this has to be that we go into a home. But even if it is, that should never replace a son or a daughter or a grandson who is still needed in that person's life, because we all need love and family. The kids and the grandkids still needed to take a moment to call and to care and to stop by and to still show interest and to listen to the stories and to play a board game or just to take the time to drive over and be present and to give a hug and to say, "I love you, Mom." This honors our parents. Being a parent has, of course, changed the way that I now look at this command. You know, when you're kids, you maybe don't like the discipline of your parents, and you're looking forward to the day when you get to break free from the parents' rules and controls, and I think all that's pretty normal. But then comes the day when you become a parent, and suddenly you see with new eyes your parents, and you wonder, did they love you as much as you love your kids? And wow, you never thought about that, you know? And now you can see why some of their rules were there and what they were trying to teach you and instill in you. And you're so very thankful for what they did. I never thought too much of growing old and moving out of the house and going to college and beginning my own life on my own. I never thought too much of my parents in those days, what they maybe were going through. But now that my kids are in that season and moving on and that stuff, I kind of miss them when they're not there every day and the time that I had with them at one point. I'm totally happy for them, excited where God's taking them next in this season in their life. But my father heart still prays for them and is still even more now in love with them as years go by, and I still very much want to be a part of their life. Of course, they don't need me in all the same ways they once did when they were younger, but I'm always going to be their dad. I'm always going to care. I'm always going to be interested in them and available to them. Looking at this command in Exodus a little closer, we need to define first the word honor. For we are called by God to honor our parents. That word honor was and is a very important word in Jewish society. Honor means a lot. And it is the Hebrew word kabed, and it literally means a heavy weight. And in context, it means to show a ton of respect for. To honor is to show a ton of respect. It also implies to concern ourselves with and to carefully consider, to obey, to listen to the wisdom and instruction of. God gave us parents to impart to us the truth of who He is and what life is. The word honor means that we should live in a way as to bring honor to the family name and the parents who raised us. All of this is built into the word kabed, meaning to honor. You reflect and represent out in the world, not just yourself, but them. So honor them. I was thinking about this command a lot this week, and I first thought about how God created parents. It was Him who did this. I mean, God created the family. God created marriage and the ability for a man and a woman to become one and then give birth to kids. Think about that. We didn't invent the family system. This wasn't our idea. God made the family. He designed it a particular way, and He gave us parents for a reason. Even the mama eagle is needed to give birth and then search for and bring food to her babies in the nest, and then when they're old enough to help them learn how to fly. I don't know if you saw the story in the news this week of the baby bobcat that was found in Lincoln. A woman took it in, thinking it was just some exotic stray cat that was out in the cold and hungry. She had compassion and brought it in and fed it and gave it a blanket to lay on, and it was severely malnourished and dying. They said normally a bobcat child is always with its mom. Without mom, the baby bobcat can't survive very long. It doesn't know how. Well, the lady took a picture of the cat and posted it, still thinking it was just a cat, looking for its owner, but found out it was a wild animal. And so someone came in the zoo or something and is now trying to care and nurture it back to health. But they said that it would never be able to live out in the wild because it lacked what the mom would have done to prepare it to survive out there. My point is simple. Even animals need parents. God gave us parents. And this family system is the foundation, really, to a healthy society. Break down the family and you begin to see the breakdown all over the world. Love and respect and truth of God and life are taught at home. That security you receive there, responsibility you learn there, the love that you have there. Without these, a person misses what they need to survive and thrive in the world and function in a healthy way. And that brokenness comes out in many broken ways. Thank God, though, we have a Savior, Jesus Christ. And I know so many who were not raised in a good home without great support or love or teaching, and yet Christ and the church and youth groups and others came along, and God was able to provide for that child what they needed to become who they were always meant to be. God has a way to fill in the gaps where we have been neglected. But the home is still the number one way. It's still so important, and it should be for all of us our first calling. Those of us who have kids are called to be parents and pastors of our own home. to teach our kids what is right and wrong and how to treat one another about God and Jesus Christ and how we're saved, and to read to them and teach them the word and to bring them to church and to help them see responsibility and what it means to love and obey God and be a good neighbor and help others and show up at a job and do well. It all begins with the instruction at home. We need parents to be parents. God works through the system he created to raise a child up. You know, in every group that I'm in today and all the counseling I've done throughout the years of ministry, I have come to see that every parent feels like they're not doing a great job. We all make mistakes. We're not perfect. We all wonder what to do in circumstances and wonder if we're doing the right thing. We all pray, seeking God's help. There's no perfect parents out there. But the Lord, he is our help and our hope, and he is so faithful to come alongside of us. I've wondered at times, did my parents struggle like I do? You know, that they seemed to have it so much together back then, just knowing what to do. But talking with my mom and dad, they told me there were many times they didn't know what to do with me, you know, or how to handle my teenage behavior, or how to always raise me and my sister. But Mom said she found her strength and wisdom from the Lord in her quiet time with God every day, and how to pray for and to raise up us kids, and Dad too. And they said they just kept giving us over to the Lord and trusting in him to do in us what they, of course, couldn't. And God is faithful and good. It's not always easy being a parent, but God is with us. We're not alone, and he works through imperfect people. And this is the system that he created, one where a kid needs a mom and a dad. So we're to honor our mother and father. We're to honor the system and the authority that God has placed over us for a reason. We're to respect our place within it, to learn from the people he's working through to instruct us and raise us up. A mom and a dad also remind us that we have roots, you know. We come from grandmas and grandpas and great-grandmas and grandpas too, and we're a part of something bigger called family. And we got a home. I was at the Clarks the other day and talking with Anthony when his daughter, Anna, who's in college at UNL, came home and just walked on in and said, "Dad, I need some help. My car isn't running right." She knew if she had a problem, she could go home and someone would be there to help. And I just thought about this. We take it for granted, but that's a really wonderful thing, you know, to know that you can always go home if you need anything, to people who love you and will help you. Family, right? We're a part of something bigger than just us, a family, a people who look out for each other. We got a history together. None of us lives by ourselves or for ourselves. You know, our world today just loves independence and individuality, but God values community. And he places us into a family, into a church, into a neighborhood, in a nation, that we might see that we're all a part of each other and actually need one another. We're not made self-sufficient. We were created to need God and one another. And we're even saved by someone else who told us the truth of Jesus Christ. Someone did that for us. We can't survive and even grow as Christians without other people. The Bible says we need the church. We need one another. We need other believers. We're dependent on each other. Romans 12 says, "Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. For the Holy Spirit has given different gifts to different people in the body so that only together can we grow up in the maturity of the Lord." This is how God made us, to need one another. Our pride is almost like that teenager thing in us still that says, "I don't need you. I can do it my way and I can do it by myself." Pride says, "I'm not going to ask for help." Pride says, "I don't need what God has provided for me." But God calls us instead to humility, to learn from each other, to ask one another for help, to learn how to love and submit to each other and be cared for and encouraged. Whether we're a newborn baby needing our mother's milk, or a teenager needing our father's advice or discipline, or a grandma or grandpa who must remind the family where they came from and all that God has done through the generations, we're to honor which means to place a heavy weight in, to give a ton of respect for, to consider deeply, to learn and obey, to rest and run to the love of our family, to honor our father and our mother. And this command carries with it a promise. It says, so that you might live and enjoy long life in the land I'm giving you. I have had a number of funerals lately and have had the privilege of listening to grown kids honor their parents with words of a eulogy or a tribute, wonderful words of what dad or mom meant to them throughout the years. Some days, you know, we don't always see it or maybe aren't always thankful for it, but in the end, we can look back. One day, our parents aren't going to be there. Let us honor them while they live by loving and listening, respecting and caring. I'd like to give you three biblical examples of honoring our parents. And I won't go into great detail on them, but you can look them up this week if you would like on your own to read the full story. But the first example I thought of was Ruth. In the story of Ruth, chapter 1, we see a family. We see a mom and a dad and two sons. And both of the sons marry. One of the sons marries a woman by the name of Ruth. Well, tragedy of all tragedies happen, and the dad and both sons die, leaving the mom, whose name is Naomi, and her two daughter-in-laws alone. And back in ancient times, this was really serious. A widow didn't have much opportunity. Well, the one daughter-in-law leaves to go find a new spouse and a new future. But Ruth does something amazing. Ruth chooses to stay with her mother-in-law. She sacrifices her own future to care for her mom. She thinks of another more than herself. She honors her mother-in-law by seeing her need and choosing to stay and take care of her. In Ruth 1, Naomi pleads with her to just go. Don't waste her life by looking after her. But Ruth refuses, and she says in Ruth 1:16, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. When you die there, I too will one day die and be buried. May the Lord deal with me ever so severely if even death separates you from me. This is the radical example of real, loving family commitment. It's a commitment to one another. And it's like Jesus, who did not think of himself, but others, but us. And he put our needs above his own life. This is the greatest way we can love and honor one another. The world is pretty selfish and often just thinks what's best for me, what's in it for me, and doesn't want to be inconvenienced. But Ruth shows us the way of love and honoring our parent, and this was her mother-in-law. I don't know if you know John Westland. His wife died about 12 years ago. She was the only child of her mother, Eve Anderson, who was the oldest member of our congregation until she died just a couple months ago. But for the last 12 years, John has taken care of his mother-in-law. Every day, he has gone to her house to make sure she had what she needed. In these last years, he even slept there in the guest room at night, even though his house is in Waverly. He wanted to make sure that during the night she was safe. He would go there, he would make dinner, he'd watch TV with her, and they would play games sometimes. And then in the morning, he'd go back to his house to get ready, because I guess Eve loved clothes, and every one of her closets in her house was full of her clothes, so no room for his. But no bother, John just did it. Eve was family, his wife's mom, and he promised his wife that he would look after her mother, and he did it all the way until she died. He took her to all the grandkids' sports games so she could be a part of them. This was an intentional and sacrificial choice to honor and bless his mother-in-law, and it became an enormous blessing to him. John and the grandkids all got to be a part of her life and give her a beautiful life all the way until the end. I love that. Another biblical example that we find is Moses. After he led the people out of Egypt and into the desert, the Bible says in Exodus 18 that he sent his wife and kids away. They go back to her parents' house. Now, we're not told why. Maybe Moses did this thinking the desert life is going to be too rough for them. My wife and kids would be better off with her dad. I don't know. Or maybe Moses was just too wrapped up in his leading and working for God that he had no time for his own family. I don't know. But Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, isn't having it. So he takes the family back to Moses. And Moses starts bragging about all the good work God was doing and all these things. And Jethro says it's all great. But then Jethro begins to notice how busy Moses is doing all this work himself and not asking others to share the load. And so Jethro goes to Moses in Exodus 18, 17, and he says to him, "This isn't good. You're going to burn yourself out. Raise up leaders and put them in charge of groups of 50 to 100 and teach them. If you do this, you'll be able to handle the strain and the people will all be satisfied better." And then it says in Exodus 18, 24, Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. Moses is this big shot, right? He is. He's Moses. He's the leader. He had a million people looking to him. He also talked with God personally. Yet when his dad spoke to him, he also listened as a son. He learned and he did it. He obeyed it. And Jethro brought Moses' wife and his sons back and gave them to Moses like he was saying, "You also need to take care of your family. Don't forget all that's important." Too many of us, we get caught up in successes or we can get our big heads and egos and we got all these responsibilities. And so we stop listening anymore to the most important people in our life, and what they're saying to us. One way we honor our parents is to listen to what God might be saying to us through them. Learn from those older and wiser than you who can see what you can't. The third and last example of honoring our parents that I wanted to share is Jesus. Jesus showed us this in a few ways. First, the story of Luke 2, when he's only 12 years old and he's there in the temple. You know the story. His parents had forgotten him there and he was left behind. When they go back for him, they find him talking with the elders and all this wisdom and everybody's in awe. And his parents, Mary and Joseph, say, "Why did you do this to us?" And he said, "Well, I got to be about my father's business." But then it says this verse in Luke 2:51. That Jesus went back to Nazareth with them, and it says, was obedient to them. Obedient! Jesus is the Lord of lords and the King of all kings, but even he was obedient to his parents. And it says he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus is the Son of God, and yet he submitted to his earthly parents. And Jesus is always our example. Even when we think we know more than them, still, children, obey your parents. Remember, Jesus did. And that is when he grew in wisdom and favor. But another time we see Jesus honor his parents is in this first miracle. When Jesus turned water into wine in John chapter 2, Jesus is at a wedding for one of his mother's relatives. And Mary notices the wine at the wedding has just run out, which in that culture at a wedding was a big deal. Running out of food and wine was just a great dishonor and shame to the parents. So Mary comes to Jesus, her son, and tells him. And Jesus says, "Why are you involving me? My time has not yet come." But then Mary goes to the servants and says, "Do whatever he tells you to do." And Jesus does it. His first miracle is because his mom asked him to, and he obeys his mother. And the water to wine brought honor to the wedding party, but also honor to his mother. This makes me think about our parents. When have we done something just because mom and dad asked us to, or felt it was important? Do we consider how we can bless them through this obedience? My mom has always asked me to get a flu shot. For a long time, I just resisted. I just didn't want to, didn't think I needed it or whatever. But mom would always tell me, I need to do that. And eventually, I just started getting one because it was important to mom. At times, my mom would text me about my cousins and how I could reach out for them or pray for them, or she would tell me that it was my uncle's birthday, or just things that I know my mom really loves to do or my dad does too. To honor our parents is to do them at times because they matter so much to them. And we love them, and so we let it matter to us. And a lot of times we find out they were right. The third and final way I see Jesus honor his parents is on the cross. We read that as Jesus is on the cross, he looks down and he sees his mom, Mary, standing there. He knows what she's going through and that she's going to be left as a widow now without him to look after her. And so in his final breaths, he takes care of his mom. It says in John 19:26, when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple next to her, he said to her, "Woman, here now is your son." And to the disciple, "Here now is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Jesus was looking after his mom, making sure her needs were covered. We could learn from this to be like Jesus and make sure our parents don't have worries that we could help with, that our needs, you know, that their needs, we could provide for them, and to not allow them to have to live alone, to not forget them, to not, fail to call them or to let a grudge get between us in some way. Love and honor your parents all of their days with grace, because that's your mom and your dad, and God has commanded us to honor our mother and father. I end with this story, the prodigal son. Think about it in this context of this command. The son dishonors his dad by demanding his inheritance early. The father could have refused or even killed his son for such disgrace, but he didn't. Instead, Jesus said, the father gave his son what he asked for. And the son goes off, and he squanders all his father's wealth on wild living and careless pursuits until he's left broke and hungry. But then the son comes to his senses, it says. He realizes his sin, and he wanted to go home, but he didn't know how after everything he had done to his dad. But he was starving, and he knew his father was a good man, and so maybe his dad would let him be a servant in the house. And so he prepared his speech, and he took the long walk home. And when he's still a long way off, his father sees him coming. And the son doesn't have to wonder anymore what his dad is going to do, because his dad takes the first move. He runs out to meet his son and immediately throws his arm around his boy. And the son said, "Dad, I've disgraced your name. I've lost your wealth. I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore." But the dad kisses his son, puts a new robe around his naked body, a new ring on his finger, and says, "My son, you were lost, but now you're found. You were dead, but now you're alive again." And his father throws him the greatest welcome home party. Jesus said, this is how our Father feels about each of us. This is the kind of dad we got. So because of that, we're to be like him. Lord, help us to be the kind of parent you are. And help us to be the kind of kids you want us to be, like Jesus was. Help us bring honor to your name and to our parents. And thank you for them. Amen. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.